You look great.
She's so sweet. Hey guys, it's Lavetta.
And it's Miriam.
And this is the Notorious Women Podcast, a comedy podcast about some of history's most notorious women.
Some of these queens are heroic.
And some of these bitches are horrific. But we think the most interesting thing of all is that they're all notorious.
Notorious.
That's right. Yeah, that's not syncing up.
See, in my beautiful head, I heard it sync up.
Yes, like the it is angels a beautiful head, but it's not syncing
swim
up.
Around me. Okay.
I think it's our recording system, and we won't say who it is, so because we don't want that backlash, but it could Mm-mm. be. Or it could be, honestly, it could be the Wi-Fi speed.
It could be. So, you mean my perfect Wi-Fi? What?
You do have perfect Wi-Fi.
I have pretty good Wi-Fi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you do. So,
California. You know what? I'm going to normalize this as an answer. Mm-hmm. I'm heavily bleeding, Lavetta. How are you?
Not heavily bleeding. I did not expect that.
No, you didn't. But I'm trying to normalize talking about our periods. How am I? I'm cramping. I'm cramping. I'm taking too much Advil, and I'm trying not to bleed on everything. That is how I'm doing.
Cramping. One of my favorite things used to be on YouTube was to watch men and boys do the cramping, the period cramp machine.
Yes, girl.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. They get like to two and they're like dying.
And I'm just like, I'm a seven. As a general.
But it's so funny because they put it on the women because they'd be like, we can't do it. And they put it on the women and women are like, do you have it on?
I don't.
And they're like, no way.
This is broken because I feel normal. Listen, last night I'm making dinner for my family. I'm double checking podcast stuff. So I'm doing a lot. My kids are like, mom. And they're lovely and I love them. But like, it's a lot. And I look at my husband and I said, I need you to do one thing. I need you to bring me a bottle of Advil. It's just like, I will not explode on all y'all if you just put Advil in my body right now. Okay?
Yeah.
He was like, you got it, Toots.
But it's he's so great. But it's also the heaviness. It's the heaviness. It's like all the other stuff. It's like you feel tired because you're drained because you're losing blood. But
Literally. Yes.
Well, on that note, if you haven't turned off yet, guys, remember to follow us on all the things. Also, don't just tell your friends and family and loved ones about us. Copy the link of the podcast and send it to them. So I think you'll enjoy this. Copy the link and send it to them and be like, you're welcome. Early like, Christmas gift, birthday gift. Just send it to them.
For a good time, download.
All right, I'll get my cougar. Not a cougar, I'm a puma.
Yeah. I'm an old married woman, but still, yes.
You are a MILF?
Yes,
why don't they
that's
do WILF? Wife, I'd like to WILF. A WILF.
WILF. Right? WILF. Why do you have to be a parent?
Yep.
To be an old sexy woman, you know?
Do a WILF. Yeah.
I like
but
it.
But MILF does sound.
Let's
MILF
normalize
like
that
milk.
As well.
WILF?
MILF does sound like milk. And
I think
they
that's
like
done
that.
On purpose. Yeah.
Okay. So gross. Okay.
Yeah. Should we get into our latest arc of Southeast Asian notorious women?
Yes.
Who do you have? Because this week is your week.
It is my week.
And so who do you have to share with me to tell me about?
All right.
Is it a murderess?
It's not. I'm sorry.
Damn it.
I know. This is going to be very disappointing because loveliness will happen. I'm sorry.
No. Is this a heroic woman? Oh, you love the nice ones. I like the bad ones. Bad.
I'm so boring. But this is actually...
No, not at all.
This is actually a story I'm going to tell because this is what happens when we find a region wherein they don't write a ton about, at least on the internet I have access to.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like, what about Cambodia? We don't
have...
You know I love to go to far off places. So I... Listen, I found one documentary that's 11 minutes long and one article. Now, the article was in a lot of different places, but then when I clicked on it, it was like all the same article. So,
Gotcha.
I found like the longest version, and that is the story I'm going to tell. And it's actually two women, but I'm going to talk about both of them because you'll see. I suspect perhaps one of the women would maybe consider themselves a trans male, but they don't refer to themselves as male.
So is it a modern story?
So it is a modern story.
Okay.
It was in the 70s. I'm old, so that's modern to me, but you know, I've done people in the 15th century, so it's not the 15th century.
Okay.
But I tried, though. I tried. I looked. I was... Okay. So this is a story about a beautiful love affair. Okay.
Oh, okay.
So the women in question is Soth Yun and Hui Ying.
Okay.
Don't know if I said those names right, but I tried. I heard it.
And I, because I am respectful of other people's culture, will not try and say that as well. Yeah. Repeat what you just said, because I will butcher it and I will embarrass myself. And we are Americans and we are already being embarrassed on the
constantly.
Daily. So we won't
do that. Again, we apologize for the trash that is running our country. Okay. It's not going to look good in 50 years. Like our history.
It's not. It doesn't look good now.
Yeah. No, right? Mm-hmm. I went to a protest because I'm like, we got to tell those great grandchildren that we tried. We got to keep the posters, be like, yep. Mm-hmm. That's right. We tried. Okay. So Soth was born, I think, about 1956. Now, again, some of this information is messy, but it sounds about right. And she knew at a very early age that she was not like other girls. So Cambodia is a very, very traditional society. And she talks about how she remembers being 8 years old and looking down at her body and knowing there was nothing she could do to change it. Now, she talks about that, which flags my brain to think maybe she, in a different time or place, would consider herself trans, right? However, it was also that she was a tomboy, that she didn't want to be put in a box. I don't know. And there's really no way of knowing. Okay. So I will talk about her as her, because that is how she talks about herself.
Okay.
So I'm going to honor that. And the second I find out that that's untrue, I'm going to go back and we'll have a special little episode. Okay. Because our job as people on this earth is to honor other people's truths.
So right? Her pronouns are she, her.
Her pronouns, as far as I can see, are she, her.
Okay.
I tried to look into this just so you know, we should all do our very best to honor people's pronouns. Like I've had friends of friends, younger people, and I just have learned to ask and then adjust accordingly when they change their mind.
Yeah, simple.
It's so simple. It's not that hard.
Miriam, are you saying that you're not a vehement bigot?
I am. Am I saying that if you think that this is stupid and we shouldn't have to waste our time with that you are a vehement bigot? I'm also saying that. Yeah. I'm saying both things. Also, I'm gonna side note a second. I'm gonna talk about those women on the internets. They have been talking to us, PS, at how they are women-centric. And they're supporting women's rights by being anti-trans. And you can't do that.
Oh, you mean the TERFs?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
No, we're not doing that. If you love our podcast, but you think that trans rights shouldn't be around, go away. I said it. I know. I'm sorry.
Bye-bye.
Yeah,
bye-bye.
Peace out.
Bye-bye.
We are not those people.
No,
you want rights for you. You need rights for everybody. End of story.
That's right.
That's right. So, okay. No more TED Talks. That's probably not true, but here we are. Well, let's keep going at any rate. Okay. Now, in the 70s, little history lesson. I don't know if everyone knows this. I didn't know much about it until I researched it. The Khmer Rouge was in control of Cambodia. It was a Maoist movement that enforced labor on the people. They deprived them of basic necessities. They deprived them of food, of medicine, of correct and helpful shelter. Like, it was really pretty terrible. You might have seen things around it, but this is real. This happened. It was in the 70s. Between 1975 and 1979, at least 1.7 million people died due to starvation, due to being overworked, and sometimes just being killed. Yeah. It sucked all the balls, is my point.
Yeah, that's okay. Terrible. I've heard of this period in history, but I didn't know that that's what it, like, I've heard of this leader, and I know it was bad, but I didn't know why. It's so unusual to do that to your own people. Like, it's just like...
And it was, we talk about, like, communism and socialism and, you know, and, like, I don't want to be communist. Well, this was an aggressive version of a basic twist on what communist doctrine...
But you know what I think could have been happening is that if you don't have the money and the resources, so to hide that or to say like, oh, this experiment failed, you're like, you should deny yourself, you know, or you could be just a sadist and you're in control of people.
This feels very sadist to me. Yeah. This feels very
just like people to suffer.
Yeah, because they hid behind the idea that everyone was on the same playing field. And so their goal was to weaken the family unit, right? And so they would separate you not in family and your parents. You'd stay in isolated by your gender and your age group in different sort of communes, right?
Yeah.
Which could be very helpful if you're gay or lesbian.
You know, I'm a Trekkie, so I always go back to Star Trek. It reminds me of like a terrible version of the Borg.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And that's what they were trying
food.
To do.
We're not Borg. We need food.
We need food. We need medicine. We need support. We need a day off. You know, it was rough.
Yeah. Wow. That's terrible.
So Soth knew that she was different. She knew she had an attraction for women, and she just hid the shit out of it because it was also against this society to have any sort of sex with your own gender, right?
Right.
Sex was merely for procreating. Like, it wasn't even anti-gay or anti any of that. It was anti-human. Like, it
just was procreation, like, not for enjoyment or anything. Okay.
And another thing that they would do is they would force marriages. So they were trying to take away the idea of love, of community, right? And so, I mean, and there were some areas where if you refused a marriage, they'd kill you. It was
really,
this is why, like, one of the reasons I don't know a ton about these people, but I want to talk about this moment in history because it's not talked about. Like, while we were fighting the Vietnam War, this was happening and we vaguely knew, you know, but we continue to know about the Vietnam War because America was involved, and America is too big to be ignorant about what the Khmer Rouge did.
I mean, who was in charge? It was Nixon, like...
Yeah, douche bucket.
But also, it's so interesting because they... Carter. I think it was a couple... Well, yeah, there was a... Carter was 70...
76 to 76, 80.
Yeah. But also, keep in mind, people are always saying, American imperialism, you can't go to other people's country and tell them what to do. You can put international pressure, which is what's happening with us, but you can't go in and tell people what to do. Because that's imperialism, right? And colonialism. So, but I have a question though.
Yeah.
So it really sounds like they were trying to force people to be the Borg, basically.
It is the Borg.
Because I was going to say, why even make them get married? But because it's a traditional, aka bigoted society, you need babies.
You need babies.
So really, it's to force women to have babies with men that they don't love.
Yes. So they don't connect. So they just have more babies. It's
to serve the leaders.
The leaders.
Give them their babies. Okay.
Exactly. While she was in one of the segregated gender communes, she fell in love. She fell in love with Hui Ying. Really hope I'm saying that.
I'm sure there's been a TV. I'm sorry, I keep interrupting. TV or film. No. Wow, they fell in love. Wow.
We need a better, listen, Lavetta and I will produce it.
Yes, they found love in a hopeless place.
Found love in a hopeless place. See, the reason I get away with singing these songs is that I don't hit any of the notes. You can't sue me. What are the notes again? That's not what I did. Exactly. All right.
Aww.
I naturally protect
us. She fell in love.
So she fell in love, but... from what I gather, there was a connection, but they never did anything about it. And she never told her. Okay. Now, they were in the Takeo province. So they met in 1973. The Takeo province was one of the first that fell under control of the Yunker. Now, Ying was sent to another unit. And that women were separated. And Yun said that, quote, I was always waiting for her to come back, end quote.
Aww.
Ying returned 5 years later, and then she confessed her love. And she says, this is very sweet, Yun says, we were working in the same group digging an irrigation canal. She was sick and I helped her. She was nice to me. Now, before the Khmer Rouge left, right, they found out that she was in love with Ying and they tried to force her to marry. And Yun got very lucky. She said no, she wouldn't do it. And they let her live, which is just some areas allowed you to say no and some didn't. And you didn't always know, right?
Right. Oh, it's terrifying.
So... there's two sort of, it's not opposing, but kind of different ways that they eventually just were able to be together. But they were. So there's one of the documentary says that now when she came back and Ying got sick, Yun nursed her back to health. And then Ying's family sent her away to go get married. They forced a marriage on her. I'm not sure what happened with that marriage, but then she got sick again and she wasn't getting better. And the family knew that Yun helped her again. And remember, there's no resources. So I don't know if she had, you know, old medicine. I didn't get that, but they said, please come back to our daughter. She's sick. She's getting worse. She's not getting better. You helped her. And so then she said, of course. And she came and she helped her and she nursed her back to health. And after that, they let them live together. Now, I read also that what happened was after that, In's father died. And then they were allowed to live together.
Oh, okay. So they were in this
they
commune
were in the
together.
Yes.
For a time. And then they got separated. And then they got back together and one was sick. And was her family in the commune with them? And is that
I'm not exactly sure how they knew, but possibly.
I would imagine also if you're like a work commune, if you're sick and you can't work, maybe they send you home.
Maybe they do that. I don't know. And it could be that the communes aren't so far apart where you can visit, you know, if you need to.
Yeah,
I'm not 1,000% sure. I don't know how much information was kept You know, I know after World War II, they did a lot of work to document the genocide, to make sure we knew what happened. I don't know how much work was documented.
Because
work camp. This is a genocide. Like, I don't know what the, you know, like, so I don't know
what they call it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's awful and bullshit. So they still live together. They created a life together.
Really?
And they didn't know any other, like, lesbians or LGBTQ. Yoon says she thought she was the only lesbian in the whole world. And
well, there has to be two of them.
There has to be two.
It's gotta be
just one more. Right.
Yeah.
And they talk about in the documentary, they talk about how family would, you know, family around them, because they left in the 80s. Like, society still had to build itself back up. There was, you know, but they could kind of live their life a little bit. So family around them would give them a child, right, to help raise. And that they'd bring the child in, they'd take care of the kid. And then when the kid was grown, they'd go back out in the world. And that, you know, like, the world needs aunties. Okay.
Yes. Yes.
So necessary.
I know,
so
auntie,
necessary.
People like to use auntie as like a derogatory thing nowadays, but no, the world needs aunties.
Wait, who uses auntie as derogatory?
A lot. Some of the kids, they'd be on there like, these aunties. And it's like, no, good aunties, you know.
Good aunties save you. Okay. Yeah. You about to run away. Auntie's going to come in, say, you know what? You can live with me for a minute. Let's figure this out.
And good aunties will run up on somebody if they mistreating you.
That's right. Listen, I have kids aunties too, but I am also an auntie, and I will do what I need to do.
You know what they call a
do.
Group of aunties? A gang.
Yeah. Yeah, they do.
They pull up, be like, we got a problem?
You know, and aunties also have more sleep, so they have more energy. Okay, I don't know how we're dissing an auntie. They are required in society.
Oh my God, that's so true.
Because, like, I'm too tired. Like, I'll get angry and then I might just fall down, or I might be like, hey, and then I just let me get a coffee. I'll be right back. And then I'm going to tell you off.
I've been a proud auntie since I was 11. So I
there
love
you
it.
Go.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Being an auntie, like, is the best, because I don't know if I have the patience for my own kids, but I got all the
fair
patience
enough.
In the world for the babies.
Yeah, you do. And they do. Right. So when mama's like,
right,
I don't know
sleep.
About this child. I don't know what house they're going to sleep in tonight. Auntie's like, come here. Let me get you guys ice cream. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. And the auntie can talk to the parent, be like, you tripping. Like,
you're right. Yeah.
Or you get some rest and I will take them with me.
And then I get rest and then suddenly I'm a really good mom again.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're always a good mom, but moms are overwhelmed.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I'm tired. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I make my husband do the other half of the mental load, because I can't be a feminist if my husband doesn't also do
right.
the things.
That's right.
So he does. He's tired too. That's fine. I'm fine with that.
Suck it up. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
So they live their lives together.
Yeah.
Oh, because at first I thought you were going to be like, oh, and then they died there. And I'm like, no.
Yeah, no. Yeah, this is like, I told you, this is kind of a lovely story. Now, I think it's really interesting that, so there is a group called the Rainbow Community Kampuchea, which is one of the first LGBT groups in the country. They call it ROC.
Okay.
And so they reached out to them. So they're kind of older now, right? And so they're trying to help, like, the younger generation approach it, because it's still a very traditional society.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and so they're kind of a queer elders of the community. You know, it's still hard because families still want a woman to marry a man.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
But they're able to progress a bit. Now, I think it's also interesting that the group talks about this as well, in that lesbians, I'm not sure about gay men, but lesbians in that society.
Okay.
Set up household as though one is a man and one is a woman.
Oh.
So in their house, Yun makes more money.
Okay.
And dresses more masculine, and stays home, makes the food. So they kind of maintain a traditional divvying up of the work.
It's that traditional, aka gendered, role play that
right.
they yeah
Which
yeah yeah.
I think is interesting, because I think in general in the United States or in a Western society, I've actually listened to some like therapy podcasts where they have, you know, when they have a man and a woman come in, the therapist kind of knows where they're going, right? A man is coming from thinking one thing and a woman is coming. But when they have gay couples, they can there's no script.
Yeah.
You know, but I think it's interesting.
That's because the gays have all the fun. No, I'm just kidding. They do have a lot of the discrimination.
They do have a lot of discrimination.
But I think because I think queerness allows you to be like, oh, it doesn't have to be that way. It can be something. Yeah, which is great.
It could be. So yeah. I think that it's interesting that what they did was they just kind of fit into the roles.
It was also the time period too, I bet.
Yeah.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, I mean, and that's basically my story. Like, that's...
Can you say their names again?
Why? I love... They're lovely. They're wonderful, but they're hard to say. But I don't want to... Please, if you know how to pronounce them better than I do, please tell me.
Well, can it you spell them
soft,
for
us? Yes. Soft Yun and Hui Ng.
Soft Yun and...
Hui Ng. Listen.
Okay.
They're on the title of the episode. Okay. Okay.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
Aren't they lovely? And they're still, like, from what I can see, going around helping their community. They're just, I don't know. They just make me so
they're
happy.
They're like penguins made they're for like life. Penguins.
Yeah. There's also a quote that she says, lesbian couples are more stable than other couples. And we have been through a lot of suffering. We stay together no matter what. And she talks about how they've never fought ever.
Because really, there's no reason to fight. You can have disagreement, but
yeah,
there's no reason to. And listen,
there's really no reason to fight.
These ladies went through some stuff. Like, what are you going to fight about after you've been in like a work camp being tortured and like, right. what? Like, and starved.
Yeah.
Like, what are you fighting about?
What is interesting is another thing they talk about is that in the work camp, it was one thing. But when the work camps ended, then they had their families to contend with.
Mm-hmm.
And to some degree, the relationship was almost easier in the camp. Then
I can see that.
Suddenly their families are keeping a greater eye on them mm-hmm. and judging accordingly.
And all in their business. All in their business.
Yep.
All in the Kool-Aid and don't know the flavor. Like, that's an old black saying. Oh my God. That. Thank you so much. That
You're
is so
very
sweet.
Welcome. Isn't that great?
Listeners, I talk a lot of crap. I'm like, I'm a strong black woman. Inside, I'm such a wuss. I love a love story. I'm a romantic. I love this.
I thought you would like this one.
Yeah. I love this. Oh, I love it. And I'm so glad that they had a happy ending.
I know. I wish I could find out more. I kind of can't. I definitely tried. But
yeah.
So let's know this love story. Let's understand where they came from.
Yeah, it's just like, but I love that they got to experience the love and not just like the longing, like, oh, and such, they found love in a hopeless place. And I just wanted to just to correct what we said about Nixon. Nixon resigned in 74. So it was President Gerald Ford, basically, because he was president from 74 to 77.
Yeah, he was known as ineffective. So that feels right.
But oh my God, thank you so much for telling that beautiful story.
You're welcome.
Listeners, we hope you enjoyed and that little story. I hope it makes you feel randy and lovely. Do I make you horny? That's a terrible Austin Powers. Do I make you horny? Wow. I do Dr. Evil better, right?
She's going to try it again. Okay.
$1 million.
Yeah. Third time was not a charm. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you. No, but seriously, that was a beautiful, beautiful story. So thank you so much for sharing that. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in for our latest episode of the Notorious Women Podcast. Remember to follow us on all the things. Again, copy the link, send it to your friends. Also, if you are watching this on YouTube, hello.
Hi.
Please subscribe, hit that like and notification button as well. Leave us a comment, but also tell your friends about us. We're trying to get more people to do this thing. I hate having to put on makeup and do my hair. Mm-hmm. Even though my hair looked like Frederick Douglass, I look like I'm leading people through the Underground Railroad.
You're a hero.
Give us free. Go and be free in Canada.
Thank you for your service.
But, we're trying to build up our numbers with YouTube because it's always hard on different platforms. But also, if you want to become a patron and give us some money, we're going to be doing a lot more content now that I'm more settled. Yes. Miriam is always doing her bit. And I'm like...
Settled?
Her part. And I'm just like, I'm just going, it's just like, I'm trying. I really am. And it's always just some foolishness just happening. But we're going to be doing more content for patrons. But if you want to become a patron, please do that. You can go to patreon.com/notoriouswomen. That's patreon.com/notoriouswomen. And Miriam, how else can they find and support the show?
They can go to TikTok. And they can go to Instagram. And on both platforms, it is Notorious Women Podcast. They're very, I do different things for each of them. I do a lot of PSAs for white women on TikTok. Okay. Because sometimes, like, we have to talk to each other. Okay. Yeah. And then you can email us at notoriouswmpod@gmail.com. You can also DM us at Instagram if you'd like. That is that.
Yeah. All right, guys. Thank you again for joining us, and we will see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Produced by Atavita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.